strap on the boots and scrape up the knuckles.
Oh, what a hit!
He got jacked.
This is the Big Red Rage. Presented by Santan Ford.
Pressure from the Badger, and Badger don't care. Thrown down by Campbell at the 40-yard line. Pitch to Fitz, running straight ahead, into the end zone, the shovel pass for the touchdown of the win.
The Rage is brought to you by Santan Ford. It's all about you. University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals. And by Bud Light, the perfect beer for living life by your own playbook.
It doesn't get any better than that.
Temperature rising, vision blurring, rage taking over.
From Cardinals headquarters.
If you're Dale Buchanan, you crush people. It's what you do.
Here's Paul Calvisi.
We're ready to go out there and hit them every play.
And Ron Wolfley.
Red Sea, you got to be feeling it right now.
Unleash the fury.
And with that, we say welcome into the Big Red Rage. And we also say welcome to the first 100-degree day of 2016. Ron Wolfley, let it wash over you.
How you doing, Bully? Fired up?
If there's one upside to 100 degrees, it would be that we're that much closer to Cardinals camp 2016. Doesn't it feel like we're getting near football season in Arizona? Because it's got to be triple digits before the Cardinals go to camp. And you know what? The draft is done. Check that box. Yeah. Free agency is done. Mini camp is straight ahead. Yeah, you got all the training camp stuff. It's right there straight ahead. You feel like, okay, we're getting that much closer. We're almost a summer vacation away from the 2016 season.
You know, it kind of freaks me out just a little bit, Paulie, because when I was younger, of course, and playing for the Arizona Cardinals, every time it would hit triple digits here, that's when we went home. That's when we went home. It was a different time, a different era in the NFL, but that's when we'd pack up the bags, we'd go back to Buffalo, New York, and then come back for training camp. So, yeah, it kind of feels like football here in the basin when it hits 100.
So this is the post-draft edition of the Big Red Rage, and we have a big lineup for you. How about the decision-maker edition, as Steve Keim, the GM, will join us. The VP of Player Personnel, Terry McDonough, is on board.
Wow.
Because you know what? We got to get some answers here.
But you have questions, Paulie?
Here's my takeaway. You can agree or disagree. I'm wondering, was Steve Keim playing football or was he playing baseball? If you follow the D-backs over the last decade, they had a slugger by the name of Mark Reynolds. It was either home run or strikeout.
Yeah.
He would get 40 home runs every season and 200 strikeouts. Guess what? Every single pick, with the exception of Evan Bame, feels like a home run swing to me.
Really?
Yes. They're going for it all with every single pick in the upside. But there's also risk involved. And history says there will be a few strikeouts. But if you can hit a couple of home runs in this six-player draft class, then boom, that's exactly what you need with a team on the verge of a Super Bowl.
You know, it was interesting to me, Paulie, because I thought that in the first round, they did indeed go best player available. I don't think defensive line is really a need for the Arizona Cardinals. They just looked at Robert Kimdichie there and the talent of Robert Kimdichie at number 29 and said, this is just way too good to pass up on. And then after that, they didn't have a second-round pick because of Chandler Jones. Amen, but can you get fired up about Chandler Jones being your second round pick? They didn't have that, but in the third round and on, I thought they started to adhere to their 120 board, which takes need into account. And from that point forward, I thought they pretty much addressed everything they needed.
You look at their draft choices, you have three players from the SEC, the vaunted SEC, and then you have players from Midwestern State and Harvard and Southeastern Louisiana. If you can play,
yeah,
they will find you. If you can play and make plays, you will make the team.
And you think about it, too. What kind of success have the Arizona Cardinals had with some of these small school guys? John Brown out of the legendary Pittsburgh State.
Right. In the Penguins.
That's right. Pack of Penguins in Kansas. And then, of course, J.J. Nelson out of Alabama, Birmingham. And you got David Johnson out of Northern Iowa. Delaware State makes an appearance with Rodney Gunter. Stop and think about it. They really have had an awful lot of success with those small schools, and not a surprise to see them really round out their draft with a lot of small school players.
Maybe my favorite moment of 2015 of all the Big Red Rages we did was when we asked Rodney Gunter, what was the biggest crowd you played in front of at Delaware State? And he said, maybe 400 people.
Yeah.
And that was the week the Cardinals are going to play Cincinnati on Sunday Night Football in front of millions watching worldwide.
There were going to be 400 media members.
Right. Think about that. All right, so look, there's what we know, what we think we know as media guys, and then there's the guy who does know, and that would be the GM, Steve Keim. And we want to know what he knows, and we're going to start asking him questions next. It is the Big Red Rage, the post-draft edition, the GM, and then Terry McDonough all straight ahead here on this edition of the Big Red Rage.
With the 29th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Robert Kendiche, defensive tackle, Ole Miss.
I'd like to thank Mr. Bidwell, you know, Steve, Coach Arians, everybody that's, you know, helped get me here and gave me this great opportunity. I can't wait to give back and make the most of it, and I'm so excited. I'm stoked to be an Arizona Cardinal.
All right, so there you go. That's the big pick for the Big Red on the Big Red Rage. And Wolf, if you hit the rewind button right here,
yeah,
and you go back to the February season-ending edition of the Big Red Rage,
right,
we were sitting right here in this very studio with this very GM, Steve Keim, who's alongside right now, and his objective was to fortify the pass rush.
Yes.
Did you ever think then that it would result in the addition of Chandler Jones and Robert Kendiche? Did you ever think then that would be the case now?
You know, I knew the big man was going to fix it, Paulie, but I didn't know he'd be able to fix it so beautifully.
Did you exceed your own expectations, Steve Keim?
Well, you know, if you told me then that that we made those acquisitions and we're sitting here today, I mean, on paper, it looks great. And we're excited about those players. We're excited about the additions. But at the end of the day, we have to produce. And there are expectations now and expectations internally. So these guys have to step up to the plate, and we have to get it done. But there's no question, now that you look at the depth that we have on the defensive line, another year of Marcus Golden continuing to grow and improve, and then the addition of Chandler Jones and some of the different things that we can do with games and stunts up front and the way James Betcher can be creative, I think it's very exciting for Cardinals fans.
Steve, when you went into the draft last weekend, was it all about best player available? It seems like early on in particular, that has been a hallmark of every draft that you've had, right? Especially early in drafts. And when Robert Kendiche was there at number 29, I have to tell you, I thought you were going to run to the podium when he was there.
Yeah, and I think that there's no question that when we build that top 120 board that there is a little bit of need involved. But you know, when you're picking at one, regardless if it's 1 through 32, I think you owe it to your organization, you owe it to your fan base to take the best player, regardless of position. And in that situation, the grades that we had on Robert Kendiche were off the charts. I mean, they were some of the highest grades in the draft from an ability standpoint that we had. Now, again, we talked about the off-field issue, mm-hmm. and we talked about some of the things that he needs to improve upon, technique, hand use, understanding and reading blocking schemes. But from a physical skill set standpoint, we didn't feel like there was a more talented player in the draft than Robert Kendiche.
It is the GM, Steve Keim, on the Big Red Rage. And we got to pick number 20 in the first round. I'll be honest, I was terrified he was going to go to Seattle and we'd have to go against him twice a year for the next decade or so. How risky a pick do you consider Kendiche right now?
Just because we spend so much time with a person off the field this offseason, I don't feel like it's a they're all risky picks. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to mince my words. But they're all risky picks, whether it's from character, ability. That's the evaluation process. That's the draft process. And that's what makes it so exciting for fans and people in my position. But when you connect the dots and you do your homework, you know, you look at Robert and you see his physical skill set and a guy that's only scratching the surface. And then when I talk to him and see the passion that it exudes and the excitement level that he has for being a part of this franchise, that leads me to believe that we got a good football player on our hands, and it's our job now to continue to help him develop and mature.
You know, I look at what San Francisco did in their draft. I look at what Seattle did in their draft as well. Interesting how many box players on both sides of the ball, Steve, that Trent Baalke and John Schneider really addressed looking at the box. Did that impact you at all? I'm not, obviously, not when you drafted Robert Kemdichie, but going into the draft, did you think to yourself, you know what, this division is still about the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball?
Well, yes and no. I think that you know, when you go into the process, whether it's free agency or the draft, I think you more so look at your team. And really, after spending all of last fall and finishing 13-3 and finishing the way we did, which was so disappointing for us, it became a litmus test. And there's no question when we came out of the season that we said we have to improve the pass rush. Where else do we need to improve? And there were some other areas that we talked about. And so it was more about us than it was about what are other people doing. You know, and I think if you take care of your own business, you certainly have a chance to succeed.
Your fourth draft as Cardinals GM, did it slow down for you? Is this sort of like a player in his fourth year? Did the board come to you in a way? And did you make picks in a manner in which BA would call plays or James Betcher would call blitzes? Because it seemed like you were very aggressive with a lot of the players you selected.
Well, I mean, I think I'm aggressive by nature, whether it comes to free agency, daily acquisitions, whatever it may be. But I would hope that I'm humble enough to continue to learn and get better at my craft. And that's what I try to do every day. I try to challenge myself. You know, what did I do wrong? How can I improve? And how can I continue to grow in this business just like a player would do? And listen, I don't have all the answers. And I rely and I lean on a lot of people, you know, whether it's guys like Mike Disner and Terry McDonough and Coach Arians and our coaching staff, Michael Bidwell. A lot of times we'll have sessions where we bounce a lot of stuff off to each other. But like I said, humility is to me the number one thing that all people have to possess to grow and get better at their craft. And hopefully the little things that I'll continue to do better and make better decisions in the future.
Steve, how much did Evan Mathis have to do with you being very comfortable with selecting a rookie center in the draft in the fourth round with Evan Bame?
Well, going into the free agency process, and when we made that trade for Chandler Jones, there was a little bit of a glaring hole, and there couldn't have been a better fit, in my opinion, than Evan Mathis for a number of reasons. Not only because of the tape that we watched, he's still playing at a high level. And then the fact that he's extremely intelligent, he is a workout warrior, and he helps hold his teammates accountable. So to not only have a guy like DJ Humphries beside you who has vastly improved in many areas of his game right now, but to also, you know, depending on whether it's AQ or a rookie center, now all of a sudden the lines of communication are much greater. Now all of a sudden you have a leader who is holding players accountable. And to me, that's the dynamic of the locker room that goes unnoticed sometimes.
He's got a little nasty in him as well, doesn't he?
He's got a lot of nasty to the point where borderline when that whistle blows, borderline he stops. So, but you know what, though? As BA always says, you'd rather say woe than sick. And you don't have to tell Evan Mathis to sick. I can promise you that.
52 straight starts against SEC D linemen. I mean, if there's a rookie who's NFL ready, right? I know that's a non sequitur right there. But, I mean, you would think it would be Evan Bame, just the experience alone at Mizzou.
Yeah, you know, and with Evan Bame, I mean, you know, for him to even be there in the late fourth, in my opinion, you look at, you know, sometimes centers are devalued overall. It was a pretty good center draft. And then he's you know, he's 6'2". He's got nice size hands, average size arms. He does have a really good feet for a center. Great balance and body control. And the one thing that I loved about him is he plays with some snap and explosiveness in his punch. So in a short area, and that's what you're doing a lot of times at centers, you're posting people, you're playing in combination, you're climbing to the second level, and he does all those things extremely well. And then at the end of the day, he loves it. I mean, he's a passionate guy that's a leader. Had a high ankle sprain. I think we've talked about that he played through a high ankle sprain. And then you go back to his junior tape when he was 100% healthy. And I watched him against those two big bodies at Alabama inside, and he played exceptional.
Yeah, you know what I like about it is he paints his face, and he's got the dark heart to go with it, doesn't he, Steve?
Yeah, I think he listens to Rush, too.
Hey, don't make Wolf bust out the Trans Am with the T-tops, all right? Now, Steve, you're going to stick around. We got plenty more questions. Got to ask you about the small school guys, and you signed a guy after the draft who's going to make the fourth quarter of these preseason games extra intriguing. We got to talk about him. It's the Big Red Rage, the post-draft edition with the GM Steve Keim. Back right after this.
He could do everything. I mean, he can cover a lot of ground. He's a 4-4 guy, play man-to-man, can be interchangeable like we like to do with our safeties, and he will strike you.
All right, BA there on draft day. The GM, Steve Keim, here in studio. It is the Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and we're talking about Marquee Christian. All right, as A-Dub tells it, he really stood out in some of these All-Star games, and we're curious what you saw, what A-Dub saw, what the staff saw in the small college defender of the year.
Well, a guy that's got loads of upside and potential. We brought him in on a visit, and again, part of the process that's so important to us is getting to know the person, and he was an impressive guy. I actually got to meet him before I watched the tape, and I heard Adrian and John Mancini and Chris Comer and all those guys talk about him, and that's why we brought him in on a visit. And then I had the opportunity to meet him, felt like he was a mature young man and passionate about the game, articulate, smart, quiet in a tough, quiet way. And then I watched the tape and was somewhat in shock. I mean, the way this guy plays off the hash, his foot speed, his explosiveness, his ability to cover ground, there's no question that he has no fear as a striker. Excellent tackler, has some snap through his hips. All the things that you would want a safety to possess to be a good player at this level, especially now with the way this game has gone, needing some positional flexibility where you're going to get isolated at times in man coverage, and he's got enough feet and movement skills to do that. And then on top of that, he loves the game and he's going to work. To some degree, you can think about, you know, sometimes later, and it's different. It's just a different way to look at the draft. You know, if a guy went to a big school and he was there in the sixth or seventh round, sometimes, you know, it may be because he's lacking physical tools and there are some limitations. And then sometimes some of those later round picks that are small school guys have tremendous upside in physical tools, but it's a little more of a projection. That's why I've come to the mindset that I'm not scared of those small school guys. As long as they love it, they're passionate, they have a chip on their shoulder, and they have the ability to learn and process, I think you have a real chance.
Steve, free agency has come and gone. It's over now. The draft is over. But your work isn't over yet, right? I mean, you're always going to be making additions right up to training camp.
Not at all. I mean, not only will we continue to look at the waiver wire every day, we'll continue to talk to, you know, there are free agents out there who are out there because they've turned down certain contracts that, you know, like Antonio Cromartie at that point, you know, where we'll continue to monitor players. And when that price comes down, if we feel like that would be a good fit and it works within our salary cap, you know, we'll take a shot on them. We won't shy away from that at all. And then on top of that, you know, we'll have different projects that are more pointed towards 17 and 18, whether it's taking certain position groups and breaking down everybody in the NFL that's played and ranking them and looking at different trade scenarios. So, you know, it's a year-round business. There's not a lot of time off. We will have some time to decompress, but this is an exciting time to be a Cardinals. I will say this. I spend a lot of time looking at our depth chart. And it looks one way on the board, but then when you go out and you see all these guys out here in OTAs, even though they're not in pads, it gets me extremely excited.
You know, you look at your draft and you look at everything from the Harvard, right, to the SEC, to Southeastern Louisiana, I mean, Midwestern State, and everything in between. What about Jake Coker? Last question, the undrafted rookie free agent quarterback. I'm personally thanking you for making the fourth quarter of the preseason games intriguing with a quarterback, but to what degree should we keep an eye on this kid, do you think?
Well, he's a winner. He's big. He's got some physical tools. He's obviously got some moxie. So, you know, there is some potential there. And at that position, It's the hardest position to evaluate in the National Football League. There's no doubt about that. And so anytime you have a guy who's won enough a lot of games like him and played in under the bright lights, you certainly have a chance. So we'll look forward to seeing him this weekend and see what he has to offer.
My last question, Steve, going back to what we were discussing about the offseason not ending for you ever and the fact that you will still sign some guys to this team, is Jerrod Powers still a possibility?
You know, he was a guy that we had talked to quite a bit this offseason, and I think he's at a point where he just wants to do what's best for him and his family. And, you know, it's one of those situations where it takes two sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I will never rule out the possibility of anybody returning.
Last question for me. Misinformation. How much were you personally responsible for this year as we say goodbye here on the Big Red Rage? How much did you personally put out there that was completely fabricated?
You know what? I mean, maybe if anything, I'm getting a little bit better about lying, but, you know, that's fun part of the process. Somebody
sure.
asked me today about, the mock drafts and the misinformation. That's what makes, part of the process exciting. And instead of, getting upset or irritated about all that misinformation and excitement that comes with it, I embrace it. And I look at it in the way that our game has become so popular that there is no off season. People sit and watch the draft.
Yeah.
The draft. They watch the combine. They watch guys running around in shorts.
Yes.
For me, that's outstanding because job security, and hopefully I have some of it. It just goes to show the popularity of our game.
Yeah. We won't ask you what the Kuipers and McShays and Mike Mayock's, you know, and their opinion of everything, because I know you guys get a kick out of that sometimes, more entertainment value than anything, I know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they have a job to do.
Yeah.
And I respect that. Listen, it's no different than, you know, when we make picks and people give us D's or C's or they, you know, have a hard time with the player we picked. That's their job. I mean, that's what criticism is. And to me, to be in this position, you have to have thick skin and you have to believe in your eyes. And sometimes you're going to be wrong. Hopefully, a lot of times you're going to be right.
All right. Total draft subterfuge here. Apparently, I lied. This is not my last question. All right. Let me just say this, Steve. Moritz Boehringer. All right. The kid from Germany, the GFL or whatever it was. Right. Your take on the Minnesota Vikings drafting him in the sixth round?
Well, have a lot of respect for Rick Spielman and Mike Zimmer, and he was a guy that we had looked at early on in the process. So we did our homework, Q Harris and our other pro guys and some other people on our staff took a look at him, and I looked at him a little bit on tape as well, which was interesting. When you watch him on that German tape, it was like a man among boys. It looked like Randy Moss playing against some middle school kids. But, you know, I mean, he's a guy that's got height, weight, and speed and certainly has some potential. You know, in our situation, it's that's one of the positions of we feel is our strength.
Right, exactly.
So, you know, but hopefully, you know, it's a neat story. So hopefully it all works out for him and we can continue to add some more international players to our game.
It'd be great for the league. There's no doubt.
All right, Steve. Thank you for the time.
You, thanks, Steve.
The insight. Congrats on another draft. Well done. It is the Big Red Rage. GM Steve Keim. We continue here with the Big Red Rage right after this.
With the 92nd pick of the 2016 NFL Draft,
the Arizona Cardinals select Brandon Williams, defensive back, Texas A&M. Go Birdies!
There was no question that he was the team leader, a guy who had loads of upside, long and athletic, 6 foot, 200 pounds, ran 4.3, tremendous change of direction and movement skills, a guy who fits our scheme perfectly, a guy who can play press and trail and reroute people in man, and again, to be able to play on the outside, which in this league is so difficult.
And once upon a time, Brandon Williams was a five-star recruit out of high school, sort of like Robert Kimdichie was the number one recruit coming out of high school. And, Wolf, I do say so myself. We go from the GM, Steve Keim, here on this post-draft edition of the Big Red Rage.
Yeah.
And our recruiting isn't bad either, because now we have the VP of Player Personnel, Terry McDonough, on board. So, you know, props all around as we are getting the inside on the draft process.
I sold a bull.
I see.
It was a hard sell.
Wolf's taking the props there, Terry, for bringing you on board. Thanks for the time today.
You guys should have had me for the buildup and then close it with the GM. That's you right. lost That's half right. your audience.
So the draft is over, T-Mac. How do you feel? How do you feel right now?
I feel great. This is as good as I've felt in as long as I've been doing this the entire vibe. We had a party for the organization. Michael Bidwell threw a great party for the organization. You could just feel it the night of the last day of the draft on Saturday. And it's a real feel-good around here. No games have been played. It's just the beginning of the long process, which is called the season. But this is as good a feeling as I've had before any.
How intense is the war room when you guys are up there for 3 days? And what's that feeling like when you finally emerge and that door opens and you guys are looking at your draft class?
It's a quiet intensity. Steve likes to keep a quiet draft rooms. You know, he's doing a lot of thinking on and off the phone, talking to Michael, talking to Coach, talking to all of us. And so not a lot of talking goes on. I think so much preparation is done beforehand, and we have our list and we have all the information, so you don't want to make any rash decisions. So it's really quiet. It's like all the work has been done. You see how the board falls, and then you have a decision to make, usually between one or two guys. And if you don't like what's there, you try to get out. But this year it fell pretty good for us.
You know, I'm not asking you to single out one guy. Well, actually, I think that I am in retrospect here. But was there one draft pick, one pick that you guys made where you put the fist into the air and said, yes?
Brandon Williams, third round.
Because?
I thought he'd go. I knew teams were trying to trade back up into the third round. I thought he was a better player than that. But since he only played the position since the summer, teams were waiting a little bit. And teams that needed a corner were coming up to get him. It's my belief. And didn't know if he'd be there. It was a long way from where we were to get there. But, you know, Steve will tell you, I was kind of whispering in his ear a little bit about, hey, let's – he goes, just be patient, and patience paid off. He was there when we picked.
What's intriguing about Brandon Williams? And how much of a risk is it, considering he's only played 1 year at the cornerback position?
There's a risk in picking everybody. There's always a risk in every player. It's humans evaluating humans. But you go by the film, and then you go to, how was the workout? So you first think the first indicator of how good they're going to be is the film. Then you look at the height, weight, and speed. Then you meet them, then you watch the workout, and it's a whole puzzle, and you have to try to solve it. But he has a lot of things going in the positive direction that will say he's going to transfer really well to this level as a corner. And I hear talk about project or growth curve. I don't see that. I think I heard James Betcher earlier today said he expects to come in and compete for the job with Bethel and whoever else is over there. So I believe that. He has the talent and the mindset to be pretty good, really good.
What's your agenda now, T? What are you doing now? What responsibilities? Where do you shift your focus to?
I was trying to figure that out the last couple of days. It's like the
forest. Because it is. You've been going at this hard for months.
Eight months. It's like Forrest Gump when he's jogging.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, all of a sudden he stops. And what does he say? I guess I'm done.
Yes.
How it is. We're done with the draft, and all of a sudden you look around, it's like you're so programmed to have a certain mindset from training camp on as a scout. Then all of a sudden the draft comes and goes, and all of a sudden it's like, what do I do now? Your wife might not want to see as much as she's about to, but you get to go on vacation. It's such a wonderful profession. It's so much fun. And then you go recharge the batteries in the summer once all these practices are done with, and you come back fresh. And, of course, I get to see you at training camp, and we'll have back at it again.
You know, the Cardinals were on board with Terry McDonough, VP of Player Personnel, here on the post-draft edition of the Big Red Rage. You know, to me, I look at the secondary, and there's been an extreme makeover that perhaps I did not expect going into the offseason. You know, that was a very talented, productive, secondary that was part of a top five defense in a lot of ways. And there's going to be some new names and faces, and I'm envisioning a lot more speed back there.
Yeah, that's I think that was one of the goals. When you have Ty and Pat, I mean, what a two.
That's your backbone right there,
to the secondary. They make it amazing with the two tremendous players. And then what we wanted to do is we wanted to get fast and athletic. And by bringing in Brandon, and then in the fifth round, we went to Marquis. You know, those are a 4-3 and a 4-4 guy that like to run and hit. So we wanted to add speed and physicality in the back end. And then bringing in Branch and free agency, there's another one. So we're a lot faster in the back end now, and we're definitely as physical or more physical. But it's going to be a very athletic group. It's going to be a young group, and we're excited about it.
And talk a little bit, if you will, about Tyvon Branch, because as a vice president of player personnel, You're in charge of college scouting, of course, and pro scouting as well. So talk a little bit about Tyvon Branch and what he's going to bring.
You know, he battled the injury bug a little bit, and last year he stayed healthy, and it wasn't major injuries, just bumps and bruises along the way. And the first thing, and you see it here so far in the spring, is his mentality.
Mm-hmm.
He loves it. He's in great shape. He's still very fast. Physical, he's very he's diverse. He can play outside if you want. He can play nickel. He can play free or strong because mm-hmm. he likes to hit. He's fast. So, again, we can be dynamic in the approach with guys like Marquis, like him, and move around. And I know Betch likes to do a lot of things with the pieces, and he's got a few more guys to work in there.
I know Steve Keim told us media guys, you know, I said, hey, look, he's not getting nearly enough attention, that acquisition in the offseason. You know, obviously Evan Mathis and Chandler Jones. By the way, have you found yourself daydreaming, or how often per day do you think about the prospect of Chandler Jones, Calais Campbell, and Robert Kimdiche along that defensive front?
Yeah, and the other guys we have too. We're going to be very, very deep there. And we're going to be deep both on offense.
The kid
and
from
defense.
Haines City, Florida.
Don't forget about him. He
Rodney
looks great.
Gunter.
You can tell he's been in the weight room. He looks fantastic.
Really? Does he?
Big, strong. He loves it. He's only going to get that much better with Coach Buckner's coaching, you know, and a year into the program.
And he's got the face, doesn't he?
Great face.
Marcus Golden coming off the edge, right? And then, all right, look, we're going to talk about the O-line next, and we need to know about the new center and what that means, and what exactly is the deal right now at right tackle. That is all straight ahead on the Big Red Rage, the post-draft edition with Terry McDonough.
With the 128th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Arizona Cardinals select Evan Bame, center, Missouri.
I change to a different person. I go out there and I like to compete and I like to dominate. I hate losing, and that's one thing I can't stand is losing. So they got a kid that'll compete day in and day out and not worry about what's going to happen and if he's going to compete or not. And I'm going to give my all the time.
Well, let's see. It's the Star Wars day, as they say. May the fourth be with you. There's your fourth round pick. It was a 4-year starter at Mizzou, and Fani Momah there with the announcement on the Big Red Rage with Terry McDonough, our special guest there, Wolf.
You didn't know you were broadcasting with an Ewok, did you?
Tried to make the correlation with a four, but here I'm setting up Terry on this one, because if Evan Bame is the guy, and there's his self-description, there's his own scouting report, that he turns into a different guy on the field. I mean, Terry, your career correlates with one Ron Wolfley. And if is there any better example of a guy who became a different guy on the field than the guy to your right?
I mean, we were teammates. You know, we obviously never played together, but I was a scout with Cleveland when he was there, and I watched him practice every day. And there was a reason why Coach Belichick brought him there, and I found out quickly what it was. No nonsense, and that's why I told Wolf what Evan was is the same kind of guy, only he's not a fullback, he's a center.
I appreciate that. I really do, honestly. You know, I tried hard when I played the game, and I love watching Evan Bame play because I think he cares. And I think he tries hard as well. I love what he said right there, Terry, the fact that I become a different guy. See, that's the whole thing about it. I mean, that's the reason why the game of football is such a great game. Because once you walked inside those white lines, you become something different. And then when you walk outside of those white lines, you love people, respect them, and treat them better than yourself. As a full-grown man, it doesn't get any better to be able to do those two things. Tap into the primal side and get paid for it, I might add, T, and then be able to walk outside and then act like a normal human being. I think Evan Bame is a guy that I'm probably going to follow him day one of training camp when the pads are on. He's the guy I truly want to see. What about you? One guy, if you had to watch one guy on day one of pads in training camp.
Well, I already went to, since we're on the offensive side of the ball, Evan's definitely one because he's going to be competing with AQ for the center spot.
Yes.
And the guy from Harvard, Toner, I want to see what he does because he can play multiple spots, center, guard, tackle. He's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
So see where he fits in. So it's kind of tough to narrow it down to one, but I'd also like to see how Evan looks, how he adjusts. He's not sexy. He's not 6'5".
No.
He doesn't run 4'8".
Not a great athlete.
No, but 52 straight games started, very bright, played for his dad, a state wrestling champ, very good technician, very tough, passionate. At that position, the chance of him having a long, successful career pretty good.
We're on board with Terry McDonough, VP of Player Personnel. So if we're looking at Cole Toner right now, I want to ask you something because there's various reports as to how he fared at the Senior Bowl. And some of these draft experts, the Mayocks and the McShays and the Kuipers of the world, have used the word reach because apparently he didn't fare so well at the Senior Bowl. He said he kind of had an up and down week, but obviously you guys saw something there along with his versatility that made him an attractive pick.
Well, I think reach is thrown around a lot too often. I mean, here's the guy that's a fifth round pick. Well, he played in the Senior Bowl. So to be a fifth round pick in the Senior Bowl, that's not a reach. Most Senior Bowl players are second, third, fourth round. So I think the reason why he's probably there in the fifth was a couple times in one-on-ones. He wasn't used to the speed early in the week, and he got what we call edge. They got him in the edge of his pads. But he corrected that as the week went on and into the game. So,
interesting. Okay. See, that's why we asked. Someone who was actually there and saw it, or at least saw the film. So,
does it bother you at all, T? Does it bother you when you hear some of these talking heads? They get up there, and you know they haven't watched as much film as you guys watch. You know it's not their profession, so to speak. There's a lot of analysts out there that turn would-be scout around draft time. Does that bother you at all?
No, because you know they don't know, and you know you know. So, no, it doesn't bother me at all. They haven't watched the film.
Water off the back?
Well, they just don't know. But they're the same guys that will come back a year later or two when John Brown plays well, or Rodney Gunter, or you know, Brandon Williams, say, oh, well, this, well, that. Yeah, they developed, da-da-da-da. So, no, it's just an uneducated opinion that most of these guys have. Now, guys like Mike Mayock, he watches film. But
yeah,
the majority of these guys aren't watching the tape. It's just based on what they hear. So if you pick sexy picks, guys that are in the media a lot, you'll get great grades. And if you don't, they're going to naturally say, well, they reached because they don't know the player. Mm-hmm. No one knew who Rodney Gunter was last year when they did all those evaluations. So it's just annoying because you know they don't know, but at the end of the day, you feel good about it because you put the work in.
What do we know about DJ Humphreys right now? How viable is he as a legitimate starting right tackle this season? Will he face competition in camp? What should we think about that right now, that position?
Well, he's moving over to a position that he hasn't really played for us, right tackle, and it's so early. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of eyes on him to see how he progresses. Last year was his rookie year, and he had a little bit of a red shirt season. Now he has expectations this year, and they're going to do a ton of work with him, and we'll see where it goes. He brought a couple of guys in that as rookies, like Toner can play right tackle, DeBoard from Eastern Washington, the undrafted rookie. I think we're all excited about him.
Who's this guy?
Clay DeBoard, he was a guy, right tackle, 6'6", 300. He probably would have been drafted in a pretty good round, maybe fourth, fifth, sixth round, but he had a little bit of an issue with just his shoulder, nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's coming in here as an undrafted free agent with a chip on his shoulder. We had him in on a visit. He's a big physical guy, pretty good athlete. So there'll be some competition for DJ, and we'll see how it goes.
How close was the team in the war room to drafting a quarterback? And what should we make of Jay Coker, one of the other undrafted rookie free agents you signed?
Well, the how close are we to drafting a quarterback, that's for Steve.
Okay.
So next time he comes on, you can ask him that. And Jay Coker's a guy that was a big-time recruit coming out of high school. He went to Florida State, and he had a pretty good competition with Jameis. Lost that competition, transferred to Alabama, had to wait his turn, and he's a big athletic. He had pretty good arms, so there's some upside there. He's a highly regarded guy coming out, and he just had a tremendous season for Alabama.
How do you feel about this roster, 1 through 53, as a talent evaluator?
Very strong. I feel great about it.
Really?
Yep.
You feel deep because you know how important that is, right? To get through an NFL season, you got to have depth.
And you have to stay healthy, but this is, to me, a deep roster.
Well, I tell you, this draft is interesting. Three guys from the SEC, and then you had Midwestern State, Harvard, Southeastern Louisiana. Obviously, this team is not afraid to take a chance on a small school guy. And I'm presuming, Terry, it just comes down to the film and the process, that evaluation. And we're going to talk some more about that. And a few other questions as to what is most pressing as the Cardinals get into rookie minicamp over the weekend. And then before you know it, minicamps, there's going to be a vacation. And then training camp is straight ahead. It is the Big Red Rage, the post-draft edition, back right after this with more from VP of Player Personnel, Terry McDonough.
He's a nightmare for a guard or center, and he can work a tackle off the edge. The thing he brings is such a powerful inside quick rusher that runs good stunts in games. I like our group of pass rushers right now tremendously. With the flexibility of Chandler, and Marcus, Calais, Rodney, we got a good group now.
All I know is I saw a highlight after the Cardinals selected Robert Kyndici, number 29 in that first round. And welcome back into the Big Red Rage, Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley. Pleasure to have VP of Player Personnel, Terry McDonough. And it was a highlight of Kyndici on offense, and he took a pass in the flat and went 31 yards down the sideline, Terry. And that was an eye-opener, the athleticism by your brand-new D lineman. And I guess I'm getting a little sense right there as to what a freak athletically this young man could be.
Have we talked about his handshake yet?
No.
I've heard it on a bunch of radio programs. Forget about the athletic ability. The guy breaks your hand when he shakes it. I guess there's a nerve that runs from your wrist all the way up your forearm into your elbow.
Right.
And I have something wrong with it because he's gripped my hand twice, and it shot like a bolt right up my arm. So I give him the old 2015-16 fist bump when I see him.
Okay, yeah. That's saying something, too, because you got
power,
a couple of meat hooks.
But he has real power in his hands.
Right.
And in his hips. Defensive line, offensive line, it comes from the hips.
Yeah, I can't wait to see how James Betcher is actually going to use him, to tell you the truth. Line him up anywhere across the front. And my dream, of course, is to see Robert Kyndici mugging the A-gap at 300 pounds, standing up honestly and playing blitz ball in the A-gap with Robert Kyndici. I'm not saying all the time. Why would you want to do that? Obviously, you'd want to put his hand down, let him rush the passer, but also to stand him up and play blitz ball. I'm working on Betch to do that, by the way. He could do it, though, couldn't he?
You can't wait for pads.
You know, I had a chance to talk with Michael Bidwell a little bit, and he said, you know, you guys met with him at the combine, you met with him on campus, you brought him here to Arizona, you went out to dinner with him, he got to meet with guys like Tyrann Mathieu, but then he had Michael and Steve Keim said, you know what, and we're going to fly to L.A. and we're going to have one last meeting. Is there any player in this draft you had more invested into when it came to research and getting to know a guy, both the player and the person, than Robert Kyndici?
No. We did a ton of research into him.
And what did you discover? What were some of your big takeaways from that process?
Just a charismatic guy. You know, a lot of times guys walk in the room and you get a feel one way or another, whether it's right or wrong. But a lot of charisma, very engaging, looks you right in the eye. When you talk, he's interested in what you're saying. He's very personable, and I think he'll be a very well-respected member of this team early on.
What is your take? So many analysts that I have heard, right, and again, I don't watch film the way you do, but so many of them have talked about the fact that he seems or appears to have taken plays off and did that on a regular basis. What did you see when you watched the film?
We dominated a few of the games I saw, but Bretson Buckner made a great point. Other than J.J. Watt, what defensive lineman plays hard every down? It's just, it's a position of 300-plus pound men, and, you know, they flash. They're big. They're battle leverage, so they get tired. But when it comes to making a play, he can physically make any play he wants to, which a lot of guys can't.
You know, I had a chance to talk with Buckner on camera actually last week, and he sort of smiled and he said, look, at Ole Miss, he was playing 70 snaps a game. He's going to get maybe 30 snaps with the Cardinals, maybe 35 snaps. And you know what? He's going to be expected to bring it every single time he's out on the field.
Well, and that's what they said about Haloti Ngata when he came out of Arizona, right?
That's right.
Excuse me, Oregon.
No,
Oregon.
It was Oregon.
That's
what they said about
him. Yeah, because he played every down. So they said, oh, he's tired. He plays, you know, he's 340 pounds and he plays 100-plus snaps.
Yeah.
So he proved them wrong in the pros, so.
You know, what's amazing is you look at last year's third-round pick, David Johnson, and I saw something on the NFL Network recently. They asked Maurice Jones-Drew, recently removed from the NFL and a pretty good career as a running back, to rate here the guys, the running backs he would want most right here, right now, on his NFL roster. Adrian Peterson was number one. David Johnson was number two, Terry.
Yeah, David Johnson was a true professional the second he showed up here. And it was never too big for him. He scored touchdowns early, just flipped the ball back to the official. He was one of those small school guys. He belonged, and he knew he belonged. And once he knew he belonged, we knew he belonged. He had all the physical attributes, a great body, great face, a tremendous human being. But this was not too big for him. He expected himself to do probably exactly what he did last year.
So there's a lot of people right now that have probably heard us refer to the face a couple of times here. Do you care to expound on that at
all? No, because most of them are probably saying, what the heck is that guy talking about? If they don't have a good one, they won't know what I'm talking about.
Okay, there it is right there, right from the vice president of player personnel.
You're not talking about somebody being photogenic
necessarily. No.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I won't mention names, but sometimes you get a guy with a great face, but he's ugly, and you say, no, he's got a great face, he's just ugly.
What if the face is painted, like a Ron Wolfley or an Evan Bame? How about that? Are you looking for that? Is that a plus, by the way?
I don't know how to answer that one. But
You still have some work possibly to be done here, don't you? I mean, you still...
Every team does.
Exactly. Yeah. Leading up to training camp, we've seen Steve do an awful lot of this stuff in the past, right? These one-year deals that start to come down. Sometime they don't come down until training camp actually begins here. So how involved are you now, or has all that work already been done for Steve?
No. Steve has a tremendous ability. First of all, he has cultivated great relationships with agents. So this has become a destination for veteran players. But a lot of times in the past, I think it was to fill maybe a glaring need or a gap.
Mm-hmm.
And right now on this roster, I don't see that. But you never know as time goes on. But I think Steve, if you asked him, I wasn't listening. He's probably really happy with where the roster is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So my one takeaway is when I do get a chance to meet with Robert Kimdichie, don't shake his hand, go the fist bump. That's your advice.
Unless you want to say, wow, that guy has a strong handshake. Because I've heard about three or four people reference it, and I know what they're talking about.
Okay, I know with Rod Graves from time to time. Rod Graves, you had to bone up. You had to be ready.
Yeah.
If you got the fingers, you were dead.
The only other person, that player, was Adrian Peterson. Him and Kimdichie, I think, are tied for first.
Okay.
It's funny, I had one of your scouts tell me before the draft that Kimdichie's handshake was akin to Mean Joe Green. That until this kid came along, Mean Joe Green was the standard when it came to hands, strong hands and handshakes.
I'm going to find out what the name of that nerve is and research it. And I don't know. He's definitely a fist bump
guy. Such a scout.
Right,
special thanks, Jim Alhunder, Eric Cohen, for Ron Wolfe, and Paul Calvisi. Special thanks to Terry McDonough on the Big Red Rage.
You've been listening to The Big Red Rage, presented by Santan Ford. It's all about you. The Rage is brought to you by University of Phoenix, the official education partner of the Arizona Cardinals.
One, two, three, let go!
And by Bud Light, the perfect beer for living life by your own playbook.
Woo!
This has been an exclusive presentation of the Arizona Cardinals Football Club.